Thank you for that tremendous message and song, and I appreciate our singers, particularly Karina today, who have come and sang during this time. It's going to be so much better when we're singing in person. Very excited about that. If you have part of our church, and you, as we read these verses, you probably recognize them from our series that we were in up until we started doing online. It went with our theme for this year, being disciples, making disciples. We were doing a series, finishing it up out of John chapter 15. Of course, we kind of derailed off of that as this came up. I wanted to preach some messages about just some comfort and the times in which we were currently living. And I'm not going back to that series, but I was kind of at the end, I wanted to look at this scripture and kind of, for those of us that were here, put a little bow on it and kind of just lay it all out. We talked about many things as we went through John chapter 15. By the way, I love John chapter 15. And if we understand John chapter 15, we will understand Christianity and what Jesus really wants from us. We will have what we need to be the Christian that we are supposed to be, to do the things that God wants us to do. Before we get into the introduction, whatever, I want to throw this out. We would not have as much problem in our Christian life if our relationship with God is right. You know, it's like marriage. If you want to have a good, fruitful marriage, you have to have a good one-on-one relationship. The better the one-on-one relationship is, the better the marriage is. Now, Christian-wise, that's multiplied by 100. Because all the power and everything we get to live to Christian life comes from Christ and our relationship with Him. And that's what He's talking about here in John chapter number 15. You know, evaluation is really a key to success in any endeavor. When we evaluate ourselves, we evaluate what we're doing, whether it's an organization, it's personally or whatever, it tells us where we are at in any given area. We stop and evaluate. Where am I really at? It shows us where we're doing well. It shows us where we are struggling. It shows us what we need to change, and it shows us where we need to grow. Now, I'm going to lose a lot of respect from some of you right now. Many years ago, I read a book. It was a book about the history of, I don't even want to look at the camera when I say this, McDonald's. I like history. I like the leadership concept. I like to see people that took something from nothing and did something great. So I really should never have read that book. All he did was increase heart disease. But I read the book, and it was fascinating how the whole history of McDonald's came to pass, and I'm not going to go into it, regardless of what I think about their food, and I think food is a stretch. that's the biggest food restaurant in the world. And so, one thing I saw that they do in the book, they have a really stern system of accountability and inspection. It was many years ago. I think they had one person that was responsible for, I think it was five different restaurants. And they would go in there, they had a sheet, they would check things out and make sure. I guess on that inspection sheet, they didn't have the taste of the food, but they had everything else. I remember as Pastor and I were talking, we would share thoughts as we were reading. And I told him I read this book, and I told him about their system of inspection. And then we had also just read a book by Inminger, who was the Sunday school director for J. Frank Norris, and he had a system. And based on this, we put together a system of just kind of evaluating what we do here. Why? Because evaluation helps you to do things better. It lets you know where you're at so you can get to where you need to be. Well, today I'm going to ask us to evaluate our Christian lives in terms of our Christianity. That's really what John 15 is about. It's letting us know what God wants for our life and how we can achieve it. We looked at many of the concepts early on, abiding, bearing fruit, the concept of pruning, and in a worst case scenario, burning. God desires us to have a Christian life that bears fruit. If our Christian life is not bearing fruit, then our Christian life is in trouble. And we need some things we need to fix. I'm pretty sure if McDonald's was looking at their business and they weren't turning a profit, they want to figure out what's keeping them from turning a profit. What is the problem? Fruit is talked about many times in this chapter, I believe 8 times. Now, we looked at it earlier, but the key to a bearing fruit is what we call abiding in Christ. The word abide means to remain, not to depart, to continue, to be present. That's abiding. When we're abiding in Christ, it means we keep in fellowship with Him so that His life can work in and through us to produce fruit. Fruit is not something we make up ourselves. If fruit is solely the result of our own labor, then that is not genuine fruit, and eventually it will dissipate, it will die. But fruit that comes as a result of our close relationship with God will be genuine and real and lasting. God wants us to bear fruit. It's natural. We've said it over and over. If a tree is healthy, a tree that produces some type of fruit, then that tree will naturally produce fruit. If a baby is healthy, that baby will naturally grow. The same is true in our Christian life. Now, how can we tell? By the way, there's a lot that passes off as Christianity that is not Christianity. It's just not. It's just meeting to church, being cool, giving our hour, and going our own way. That's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. So how can we tell we're abiding in Christ? Do we have some type of special feeling? No. Although, it feels good to abide in Christ. But there are special evidences that will appear and that are unmistakably clear and prove that I am abiding in Christ. These evidences are called fruit, and they must be cultivated in our Christian life. Now, as I go on and talk about fruit being natural, it doesn't mean that Christians don't do anything, because the fact of the matter is we will not bear fruit, we will not have a relationship with Christ unless we put the effort in. But our effort is just to get connected to Christ and be willing to do what He says, and as we do that, He empowers us to have fruit in our life. Fruit. Now, if He wants us to be fruitful, then what's the other option? Well, that we could be unfruitful. There's also, the Bible talks about being barren. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. You can turn there if you'd like. I'll read it as you're turning for sake of time. It says, "For if these things be in you," the things that he mentions, the things we're supposed to add to our faith, "if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you can go and read those verses before. We preached on those, the things we're supposed to add. "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." You know, some people that struggle with their salvation is because they never had it in the first place. But I think sometimes doubt starts to creep in our mind because we're not close to God and we're unbarren. We're barren. We saw the futility of some of those branches earlier. In verse 2 of chapter 15, it says, "Every branch that beareth not fruit in me, he taketh away." Verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. They are burned." That doesn't sound good, because it's not. So here are our options: fruit or failure, which would be barren or unfruitful. How do we tell where we're at? Check the fruit. Check the fruit. So let's wrap this up, the series I was in several months ago. We're going to go through this, and I'm just going to give you some truths and principles from the passage that we can look at, and if we ask us a few questions from them, we can evaluate very clearly where we are at spiritually. Let me give you some. Number one, I want you to see the picture. And again, some of this is a little bit of review, but we're checking ourselves. The picture. What's the picture? An abiding connection to Christ is where the growth and fruit start. That's the point the picture is trying to tell us. An abiding connection to Christ is where the growth and fruit start from. We read the verses and we went over them before. Christ is the vine. He is the one that the vine that which we need to be connected so we can get that life-giving, the life-giving power. Our life is based on and flows through Jesus Christ. That's the picture. He is the vine. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our life is based on flows through his. If we're not connected to him, we have no spiritual life. Our love comes from him. The problem of barrenness or fruitlessness has nothing to do with the vine Christ. If you are, I've had people, you know, I came to church and I tried this Christian thing and it just doesn't work. Then you didn't do it right. You're either not saved or you didn't stay connected to the vine. Because the problem is never Jesus. You know what's, one of the things that's sad, by the way, I'm not expecting, God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but one of the things that's sad about Christianity is Christians. We are an advertisement of Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, that is not fair to Christ. It's not. And I get it. And I know sometimes we're put under a magnifying glass. And I know sometimes no matter what we do, they're going to be against Christians. But I want to, we got to have the kind of life that represents Jesus Christ. But sometimes people say, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with it because I know a Christian and they did this. Can I just tell you something? I'm not going to live my life based on what Christian's doing. I want to live my life connected to the vine because Jesus never lets me down. He never lets me down. So often, we want to live our life comparing ourselves to what other Christians are doing. I don't care about that, and I'm glad they're living for God, and they should live for God, and they can be an example. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ will never let me down. The problem is never the vine. And we saw that Christ is a vine, and all we are, we're the branches. We're connected to him. Anything that's good in us, anything that comes forth from us, is a result of us as the branch being connected to the vine. And if we're not connected, we will not grow, and we will not bear fruit. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. We have to get that right there. Branches either bear fruit or they die. And we saw what Jesus, they're pruned. They're taken care, they're burned, they're taken off. So we have to understand, we have to have that connection to Christ. You cut a branch from the vine, it does not produce fruit. We have to be connected to the vine. So as we look at the picture, here's one checkpoint we need to evaluate ourselves. Do you have an abiding relationship with Christ? I think church is important. That's why we need to be together. And I've never met a fruitful, growing, abounding Christian that is not faithfully connected to a good Bible-preaching church. They struggle. But I'll tell you this, more than that, you can come to church every day of the week and four times on Sunday. But if you're not abiding with Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. He's the one. So that's the first checkpoint. Do you have an abiding relationship with Christ? Secondly, I want us to see the principle. The principle is this. We've alluded to it already. Spiritual growth should be a natural occurrence for a Christian. Spiritual growth should be a natural occurrence for a Christian. That's the principle. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. It's a two-way relationship, by the way, praise God. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. There's no 10-point outline on how to have fruit. Now, the Bible does give us principles that we have to put our effort in to follow, but the power to even do that comes as a result of the abiding relationship with Christ. But he just lays it out there, bottom line. If you abide in him, you'll bear fruit, because without him, we can do nothing. God did not just save us to keep us from hell. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for all of it. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life. That's great. And that they might have it more abundantly. That's greater. It's not just saving us from hell. You know what it is? It's saving us from hell and giving us an abundant, important, purpose-filled life on this earth. And what's that purpose? It's not some 40-day devotional written by somebody who's as liberal as the day is long. That purpose is to fulfill the Great Commission, to make a difference in this world. We can never fulfill God's purpose on this earth without growth. And God does expect growth from us. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, and I'm not going to read it, but he says, you know, there's a time you ought to be teachers. You've been saved long enough. But that time that you should be teaching people, you have need that you need to be taught again. You need milk and you ought to be eating meat. You know why? They're not growing. They're not connected to the vine. Growth is evidenced by fruit. And fruit is the product that is produced when we do stay connected to the vine. Now, we like the word results. What are the results in your life? You know, since I got saved, there's all these great results. Whatever. That's not the Bible word. You know what the Bible word is? Fruit. Why? Because fruit comes from an outside power. See, God wants to do things in us. Now, again, don't take the fatalistic approach. I don't have to do anything. No. We have to be committed. We need to do our part. But as we do our part, you know what? The power flows from Christ through us and produces fruit. If we're willing to do and to follow his ways and his will. See, we have all these things out here that we don't want anything. We want maximum results with minimum effort, right? Let me explain that to you. Pyramid scheme. All I have to do is sell $100 a month, and then I get 100 people under me, and I get all their money. Listen, there's only 100 pennies in a dollar, okay? And you can't have 200 people each getting a penny out of a dollar. It doesn't work. But we want other people to go out there and do the work, and we get the money. You know, the advertisements. I make $50,000 a week working 4 hours a day from home. You know how they make that? Because you send their money to them. That's how they make it. You're not going to make it. You know, you can lose 112 pounds and eat anything you want. That, you know why? Because you die and you lose all your weight. But that's how we are, right? We want maximum results and minimum effort. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. What we do is we just do what we are supposed to do, and we're willing to put forth the effort. And the power flows from Jesus Christ. Abide in Christ and let his Spirit produce fruit in you. Like a crop, it takes time. It must be cultivated. But it does not come overnight. But you know what? If we faithfully follow God, it'll happen. That's why some of you that are newer Christians, and it's like, you know, you look at somebody that's a little older Christian and say, man, he's a saint. How can I get to where he is? Number one, he may not be a saint. He is a saint in position, okay, maybe not practice. But number two, if he is down the road where you want to be, you know how he got there? Took some steps, slow steps. And by the way, what God wants for you is direction. You don't go plant a seed and overnight it's like, where's the tree? It takes time. The farmer that plants his crop doesn't expect his crop to bear fruit the next day. You know what he wants to see? Progress each day. As long as it's making progress. Hey, maybe you're not where you want to be, but if you're making progress and God is making those little changes in your life, keep going. Keep going. That's a natural occurrence. So let me ask you this. Here's your second checkpoint as we evaluate our Christianity. Are you regularly making noticeable progress in your Christian life? Are you regularly making noticeable progress in your Christian life? Now, I didn't ask if you're 100 miles down the road. You ever take a trip? We got to drive 500 miles. We got to go get over here. It's like, look, you don't get out there an hour later. It's like, we're not there yet. I know. But are you closer than when you left an hour ago? It's okay. Just keep going forward. Number three, now we see the power. The power. What do I mean by that? God, growth takes place, and I've already mentioned this. We won't spend a lot of time of it. As a result of us being connected to Christ. Growth takes place as a result of us being connected to Christ. Christ is the vine, we're the branch. So where does the power come from? The power comes from Him. As we are willing to do the things He tells us to do, listen to me, He empowers us so we can do those things. When He told the Israelites, you're going to get the promised land, you're going to win the battles, I'm going to send the hornets and all this, not the killer hornets, that's garbage. I'm going to steal the hornets and all these, and I'm going to discomfort them, and you're going to win the battle, and I'm going to win the battle for you. They didn't sit around in their tents eating bonbons waiting for everybody to die. They went out and said, okay, I'll go fight the battle, and God gave them the victory, but they had to be willing to go fight the battle. They didn't do it in their own power. Well, we saw it, I think last week, where in Judges, Gideon, you 300 are going to win. Now, God did the whole thing, and after that, the 300 had to run in there and mop up, and there's some others that came along, but they had to be willing to fight, and then God's power went through and gave them the victory. Now, how does that relationship? Primarily, in one of the greatest ways that relationship empowers us is through His Word. It's through His Word. The relationship to the vine comes from His Word. Now, look, I was in bed last night and Jesus talked to me. First of all, that wasn't Jesus, that was pizza. Okay? You know, no, I was driving the car and I heard a still small voice. Then you need to turn the radio on because that's not God. We blame all kinds of stuff on God. Listen, God has already clearly spoken to us. It's in His Word, not in your mind. People have said some crazy things in the name of God. I'm getting a word from God. What verse is it? You want a word from God? Read the Bible. And I've said this before. Well, I want to hear God's voice audibly. Read it out loud or listen to Alexander Scorby. That's where the truth comes from. Look it. He said this all throughout John 15. Now are you clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Remember he said, you abide in me and I abide in you? He tells us how. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. How do we know what Jesus wants from us? His word. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. These things have I spoken unto you. Look, if you say this, I'm not seeing the spiritual fruit I want, then you need to be connected to His Word. I'm just telling you, that's important. God's Spirit uses His Word to produce fruit. It tells us in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 3, as we look into the Bible, we see the glory of the Lord. And the Spirit of the God uses this glory of the Lord we see in His Word, the Spirit of God, if we're open and willing to be obedient, He uses that to transform our lives. And we become like that Word of God that we're looking at and we're studying and reading. You say, Pastor Myers, when I listen to you, I just get the idea that you think I should know the Bible. Yes. I get the idea you think I should be reading and studying. Yes. I could stand on the pulpit. I could stand on my head. I could say everything in the world. But if you're not in the Bible, I can't help you. Now, I'm going to preach the Bible. I'm going to push you to the Bible. But you've got to have a relationship with the Bible. The Word. God uses His Word. Daily reading. And this is where church attendance also comes in, because as you're reading and you're learning from Scripture, Sunday school classes, when we get those back going, and you learn all this stuff, it all starts melting together and working in your life. And then you are open and willing, and you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, and the Word of God just works through you. Obedience. We can't, look, the Bible's not a science book. Oh, I just want to know all the facts. You know, remember, what is it, a dragnet. Just the facts, ma'am. Well, the facts are in the Word of God. But we want to know the facts so we can obey them. By the way, we need to learn how to look in our Bible and figure out what it's saying. Not ripping some little phrase or verse out of context. What's the whole Bible saying? By the way, the more that you study, the more that you work at it, you will understand it. Meditating, thinking about what it says. Listen, I don't need Jesus to speak to me in my car. You know what I need to do? I need to think about what he's already told me. You want God to speak to you? That Bible you read, get some truth from it and think about that truth a little bit. Apply it singularly to your life. Remember, abiding is to remain, to stay, to dwell, to continue, to endure. Be faithful to it. So growth takes place as a result of us being connected to Christ. So here's your checkpoint number three. Are you faithful to abiding in the Word, learning, and applying it to your life? We saw that in James 1, I think three Thursdays ago. Number four, what's the problem? What's the problem? We understand this. Here's the problem. When we don't abide, we disconnect and die spiritually. Verse 6. If we don't abide, we disconnect and die spiritually. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We looked at this earlier. It's not talking about losing your salvation. You would have never been a branch in the first place. We stopped abiding in Christ and his word, and our relationship is dying. Like a husband and wife that quit communicating, quit talking to each other. They're nothing more than just glorified roommates. And then they look at each other one day and say, what happened to us? I don't know you anymore. I don't feel close to you anymore. Well, what are you doing to be close to one another? You say, my wife isn't close to me. What are you doing to get her close to you? My husband's not close to me. What are you doing to get him close to you? You got to communicate. You got to want to talk and know and help each other. Same's true in Christianity. When our spiritual, we need to be careful that we're just stay there. If we only realized that we die if we don't connect with Christ, maybe we'd be a little bit more diligent to stay connected to his word. The fruitfulness of our spirituality is connected to our relationship with Christ. Without that relationship, there is no spirituality. You may do some spiritual things. You may occasionally do the right thing, but you're never going to long-term do those things. Remember, dead things don't produce fruit. I don't mind having plants around. I prefer plastic plants. They don't die, okay? Look, you can buy a nice looking, realistic looking plant. It's plastic, but it doesn't produce fruit because it's plastic. You say, oh no, Pastor Myers, I've seen plastic fruit before. That must come from a plastic tree. God bless you. Okay, no. Listen, but a tree that's growing, it produces fruit. Dead. Once a tree's dead, no more fruit. It's time to rip the tree out and put a new one in. If you've removed yourself from the life-giving power of Jesus Christ, you've removed yourself from the fruit-producing source. By the way, here's the good thing. You don't need to struggle spiritually. You don't. Everything you have to be, and I don't like the word successful, but you know what I'm saying, spiritually successful is available if we'll just take advantage of it. There's no need for us to live some subpar, struggling Christian life. If we're doing so, it's because we're dead. Most every problem and irritation you have in life could be solved by a close relationship to Christ. Oh, that's too simplistic. Yes. See, we want, you know what we want? We want some, you know, psychologically empowered little phrase to make us feel good about ourselves? No. Are you close to God? I'm struggling. I need someone to help me today. Okay. Are you willing to stay close to God? That's the big issue. Here's checkpoint number four. Do you have any spiritual desire or sign of spiritual life? If your spiritual desire has died, if there is no sign of spiritual life in your life, there's a chance you need to get connected to the vine again. Number five, I will hurry. We have several points. I want to finish on time. Number five, the person. We can't produce spiritual fruit with human resources. The person. We can't produce spiritual fruit with human resources. Here we go. You ready? For without me, ye can do nothing. You say, but I produce this thing. It's fake. It's not genuine. It won't last. I told a story. My daughter, years ago, they went to Cambodia. She bought me a bag for my laptop. It was a Gucci. Cost her $10. It was a Cambodian Gucci. You know what happened? It came apart within a month or two. I guess Gucci is Cambodian for not last long. It did not last very long. You know why? It wasn't the real deal. It was fake as a $3 bill. We can't, listen, for without me, you can do nothing. Oh, I can do something without Christ, not anything of any genuine spiritual value. You've got to have Christ. Without his help, we do nothing. And you know what? So often we are more than willing to do everything on our own, and it's just not going to work. I've burned out on Christianity. You know why? You didn't have any fuel. You were a candle burning at both ends. You had no power, no fuel. The fuel comes from the Word of God, the Spirit of God, through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Checkpoint number five, are you living your Christian life on your own power without any help from God? It won't last. Number six, there's a process. What's the process? When we do abide and grow, it will mean change. Verse 2, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Here's a good part. Once you're producing fruit, God says, here we go, let's produce more. Doesn't that make sense? The longer you do something, the more proficient you'll be at it, and the more you'll be able to produce. And we don't become proficient at it in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, the Spirit of God can produce more fruit in our life because the more we're connecting with him, the more open we are to what he's doing. And so he purges us. You know, the branch sometimes, it's a healthy branch, but little things, offshoots start going. Well, those little offshoots that aren't going to produce fruit are nothing but sapping energy. So you cut those off so all the energy goes to the fruit. See, the more you abide with Christ, the closer you get to him, and more of the nonsense in your life starts to get put away. So you know what we want to do? We want Christ and we want nonsense. Nonsense kills our power. So what happens? He wants us to change. By the way, we don't like change. We don't. I'm with you. Children grow, they change. We have a tendency to get comfortable with where we're at. See, we want to stay where we're at. We don't want to change anything, but we want Jesus. It doesn't work. He's going to change you and make you a better person, a more spiritual person, a better tool that he can use to produce fruit. If you're not willing to change, you're going to struggle. You know, as a new Christian, and if you're as you're growing in your faith, people say, you're different. What's different about you? Not that you jump up on a table and are rude. No, none of that stuff. They'll just see things in your life and say, what's going on in your life? You're not the same person. If you've been a Christian or coming to church and allegedly serving God for 2-3 years and someone that hasn't seen you in a couple years comes and sees you and they don't notice a difference, maybe something's wrong. Checkpoint six. How much is being a Christian changing you? By the way, when I got right with God, my life drastically changed. The things I did, you know, I don't want to sing this song. Na, 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 na. Okay, that's fine. But I didn't do the things I used to do. I didn't hang around with some of the people. I love them, and they're still my friends, but I couldn't be around them because the things we did when I was around them wasn't godly. I tried to get them on board with what I was doing. How much is being a Christian changing you? And then the last thing is this, the passion. The passion. As you abide, grow, produce fruit, and change, listen to this, you will experience joy. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Do you know joy is a sign of a Christian life lived right? Not happiness, because happiness is fleeting. Oh, my team won. Well, your team's not even playing. But when they were playing, oh, good, we had a good day. Oh, you know, we had a good meal today. I'm happy about that. Or I got a raise today at work. What happens when you don't get a raise? What happens when the meal's burnt? What happens when the Raiders lose again? No joy. Joy. He wants us to have joy. You know where joy comes from? All those things that we do in Christ. See, here's the lie that devil throws out, particularly you young people. If I serve God, I'm going to miss out on all this stuff. I know. I've missed out on a lot of things. Misery, nonsense, sin, consequences of sin. And by the way, you kids, you grew up in church. And I'm looking out. I was out the other side of the fence. It stunk. I couldn't climb the fence and get in here fast enough. There's nothing out there. I can tell you all the people I used to know and used to hang around with, if I ever find out about them and they're not serving God, it's not good. Not good. You know what my joy comes from? God. And it comes because I've tried to do this. I'm not great at everything. I'm still going along the path, but I have found that real lasting joy came when I started serving God and spending time with Him. So what's the two options? Fruit or barrenness? And what does it produce? Joy. Think of it this way. Tree that's unfruitful. Let's look at the word barren. When I think of barren, I think of the desert. It's just, there's nothing there. There's no greenery. There's no water. There's cactus, which is a horrible looking plant. Kind of has its arms in there like, I give up. Okay? There's nothing joyful there. But a nice, fruitful tree. Joy. How's your life today? I'm not experiencing joy. I just don't have joy. Not that you're happy all the time. We have to deal with problems. I get that. But joy is something that's internal, that comes from God, that we can have in the midst of negative situations. Joy. It's a byproduct of your relationship with Christ. See, you know what the problem is? We're out looking for joy in everything that God says. That doesn't produce joy. That doesn't produce joy. And Jesus said, I wrote these things so that you can have joy and your joy can be full. So let me ask you checkpoint 7 and we're done. Do you have genuine, godly, lasting joy in your life? If not, then maybe we need to make some changes. So in conclusion, let me say this. Let's be honest with ourselves. We talked about evaluation. The message today is fruit or failure. Which do we choose? Well, let me give you the checkpoints one more time and you legitimately ask yourself these questions. Do I have an abiding relationship with Christ? That's checkpoint 1. Am I regularly making noticeable progress in my Christian life? Checkpoint 2. Checkpoint 3. Am I faithful to abiding in the Word, learning what it says, and applying it to my life? Checkpoint 4. Do I have any spiritual desire or any signs of spiritual life? Checkpoint 5. Am I living my Christian life on my own power without any help from God? Checkpoint 6. How much has being a Christian changed you? And lastly, do you have genuine joy in your life? Why are these checkpoints? Because if not, then we need to make changes. We need to get back to the vine. I'm not just here to tell a few stories, and I think someone was telling me some of them were, churches are not essential, they're entertainment. We're not entertainment, okay? Just because we're on television now, we're not entertainment. This is real here. I want you to have the kind of Christian life God wants you to have. I want you to produce the kind of fruit God wants you to produce, but you got to abide in him. So look at your life. And by the way, I don't mean failure. You're a failure. No. If I look at my life and I say I'm failing in these points, you know what you need to do? Flip it so you can produce fruit. And God can work in your life today. Let's pray together. As you're at your house, I know it's hard sometimes with the children, but let's focus in for a second. Were there any of these checkpoints where you say, you know, I'm struggling in these areas? And by the way, if you're struggling in these areas, that's not to condemn you. That's not what this is all about. We all hear things from the Bible and from the preaching. It's like, man, I need to fix that area in my life. I'm with you. You raise your hand, I'll raise my hand and my feet. But we need to work on this. Are there areas where God spoke to you this morning specifically where it's like, I want to work on that in my life. I want to experience that in my life. I pray that you would do so. How do you do that? Just make a decision to get back to being connected and divine, to spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ and being open to his word and everything he tells us to do. And then his power flows through us and God produces fruit in our life. And that joy comes. That joy comes. Maybe you're watching this morning, and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not really a Christian. In other words, you're not 100% for sure that you are on your way to heaven without any doubt. You're not 100% sure that you are a child of God. We could help you with that today, because remember I said earlier, something that's dead cannot produce fruit? Spiritually, we're not even alive spiritually if we're not a child of God. There's a number. You can text us and we will get back with you. We can help you with that if that's what you want. No pressure. We just want you to experience everything God has for you. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for today. I pray you just bless each and every one of us. Lord, I think most of us desire in our heart, we may struggle to be a Christian you want us to be. And sometimes we look at the Christian life and say it's so hard. And really, Lord, it is without your help. But Lord, if we would just understand that if we abide with you, the power of God flows through us and helps us to bear the fruit you want us to bear. Be with us now until we meet together again tonight. Be with us this week as we plan and prepare for what you want for our church in the future. And I pray you'd bless our folks, take care of them, meet their every need. God, help them if there's struggles in their life. God, I pray you'd sow yourself strong in their life. Let them know that you can be trusted to meet every need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.